Father, thank you for Hilary. I just pray now the presence of your Holy Spirit, strong and real, that you would breathe life on the words that you have given her to speak today. So just come now, Holy Spirit, with your presence and your peace. Let your anointing rest on her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Glynis. Good morning, folks. I should just tell you that David isn't taking a Sunday off, but he has gone to speak at St. Anne's Cathedral this morning. I think he'd rather be here with us, but that's where he is, just in case you're wondering. And I have too many bits of paper and things like that that I'm going to struggle with, but never mind. I'm quite struck the way that Glynis decided to not only pray for me, which was lovely, but also to introduce me, because she had no idea how my notes start off this morning. Because the passage I'm going to speak on this morning is one of this series that we're looking at of Jesus' sayings in the Gospel of John, where he describes himself in seven different ways, seven times when he says, "I am." And they're really significant because it's always significant when we describe ourselves to people, or when we want to, what the information that we give about ourselves or the way that we introduce ourselves. I was at an event on Monday and was asked to introduce myself. Now, I have two part-time jobs, one here at Willowfield and one outside Willowfield, and this was in connection with my other job. And so, you know, it's quite hard. What do you say? And so I said a little bit about that job. And I said that my name was Hilary and that I lived in Belfast. And I had three kids and two sons-in-law. And, that, you know, that's kind of what I said. But if I'd been here, I would have probably described myself rather like Glynis did, that I work in Willowfield. I'm part of the team here. And I'm married to David, who's the leads of the congregation. On Friday, I was talking to somebody who was much more interested in who my mother was. So I smiled when Glynis also introduced me in the context of my mum, Margaret. So it's really funny the way in which we introduce ourselves and the things that we want to make sure people know about us, or the things that we feel are going to help people to understand something about us. And it strikes me that the seven sayings that Jesus gave us in John's Gospel are ways in which he was trying to communicate things that are important for us to know. So these are the seven sayings that he has. "I am the good shepherd." So he was describing himself in the way that he would be looking after his sheep and searching for those who go astray. "I am the bread of life," because he can help us meet our deepest needs. "I am the light of the world," because he's the light in our darkness. "I am the gate," so the entrance into safety and security and fellowship and protection. "The resurrection and the life," Jesus is our hope in death, the help that we need, and the answer to our greatest longings in life. "And I am the vine." Branches grow on the vine, and they wither and they die if they get cut off. And Jesus is saying that if we are separated from him, we will never make sense of our lives. I remember years ago when my mum and dad lived in Oxford, when we had this cute little golden retriever puppy. He was absolutely adorable. The rest of the family thought so anyway. But my dad was planting up the garden. He had just planted a vine. Sam, the puppy, thought that it tasted delicious. And for some reason, he kept chewing off the bottom of the vine. Dad was disgusted. But it was a real example of, actually, as soon as there was enough bite marks, not even, didn't have to break it off completely, the vine and the branches, the goodness couldn't get up the branches and they died. The vine. If we get cut off from Jesus, it's just that illustration, that reminder that we won't be able to make sense of our lives and live our lives in the way that he would want us to. So this morning we're looking at the seventh, which is, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And this is part of the last conversation that Jesus was going to have with his disciples here on earth before his arrest and before his crucifixion. So it feels as if part of what Jesus was saying here, he was telling them about the circumstances that they were facing then, but the things that they were going to be facing and the way that they would look back and remember what he said to them. So these words are perhaps particularly significant. that Jesus is recognizing the difficulties that his disciples would be struggling with, the things that would be troubling them, circumstances, difficulties, life's ups and downs in a particular and very dramatic way in their lives. So I'm going to read these seven verses from John chapter 14, and they'll be up on the screen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. For many of us this morning, there are things that are troubling us. Our hearts are troubled. And this is a particular appropriate passage for us to be looking at. There are things that people know about. There are members of our church family, and as Glynis has said this morning, who are seriously ill in hospital, either here in Belfast or in Canada. There are others in our church family who are grieving the loss of close family and friends who've died in recent weeks. During the 2 weeks of that we were away on holiday during July, David and I came back for two weddings, but three funerals. The sad, difficult days outweighing the happy ones. There'll be others who will be troubled about things that people don't know about. They'll be troubled about people that they're concerned about, their children or their debts or their work or their health, whatever it may be. For many of us, there is that sense of being troubled, even in the midst of good days as well. Life maybe just hasn't worked out the way that we had dreamed or expected. And to each of us this morning, Jesus' words echo with such a sense of compassion and understanding. Jesus is saying to us that he is the answer to so many of life's questions. Not that he had found the answer, not that he could say, if you come and I'll tell you about it, this is how you... He's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, these friends who are going through particularly hard times at the moment are saying to me that they're finding this true every day. You know, that maybe is what we would call their testimony. One sent me a message to say, I just feel God's loving hands holding me each day. And another, Lord, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. They're proving God's goodness and grace every day in the midst of really difficult and tragic and just traumatic circumstances. So I want to just look very quickly at these four words and how they answer life's big questions for us today. The first is the. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not one of many, the one and only, the one in whom we need to put our trust. There is one way to God through Jesus. Way gives us the reminder of direction or guidance or knowing the way to go. And some of you may have been here last Sunday and heard David read a quote from a book by Billy Graham, and I was just so struck by it that I went and found it in the book and copied it out myself. The way is narrow, said Billy Graham. Science's call for narrow-mindedness. I thought it was a very strange comment because actually we often think of the scientists as breaking new ground and breaking new barriers and, you know, the sky's the limit, literally. But actually, he points out, there is no room for broad-mindedness in the laboratory. Water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. It's never 100 degrees or 189 degrees, but always 212. Water freezes at 32 degrees, not at 23 or 31. And then he says, take mathematics. The sum of 2 plus 2 is 4, not 5 or 3.5. That seems very narrow, but arithmetic is not broad. Neither is geometry. It says that a straight line is the shortest distance between 2 points. That seems very dogmatic and narrow, but geometry is intolerant. The compass will always point to the magnetic north. That's a very narrow view, but a compass is not very broad-minded. If it were, all the ships at sea and all the planes in the air would be in danger. Now, there's an irony in those words, isn't there? It's a really clever reminder to us that actually the world exists around rules. Rules that work, rules that are for our good, our protection, and eventually for our well-being. So when Jesus says, I am the way, and people say that's very narrow-minded, there is a sense in which that's the exact truth of why it is so important. It's narrow, but it is open to all. Jesus journeyed from heaven to earth as the Son of God who was born as a baby, who died, who rose again and ascended back to heaven. So he's been there, come back, worn the t-shirt, as it were. He knew the way to heaven better than anyone else who has ever lived. And then he said, I am the way. It's a narrow way, but open to everyone. And as Christians, sometimes, maybe we need to remember that just like the sat-nav is so annoying when that voice says, turn around when possible, that actually sometimes God's words to us are, turn around when possible, turn around when possible. Truth, we can count on Jesus in the most difficult days. He is trustworthy. There's no fake news where Jesus is concerned. When Greg Venables was with us back in April, he talked about how important it is that we tell people the truth about God, his incredible love, his acceptance of us, his desire for a relationship with us, that Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins, and that when what Jesus said is truth, and we can trust it when we choose to respond to him. So when Jesus said, in my house there are many rooms, it's true. There is room for all of us in heaven. If it were not so, would I have told you? Jesus isn't a liar or a tease. He tells the truth. He's preparing a place for us. Life. Jesus says he will give us life that is worth living. So often I think we feel our lives are stuck or our lives are just not what we wanted or expected them to be. And that's not only when we're going through traumatic or difficult situations, but perhaps particularly on those occasions, but even when things are going really well for us, perhaps life isn't quite what we expected it to be. And that can be because we've lost sight of God's plan for us, his purpose for us. We've got distracted by the stuff of life and the stuff of the world, and we've lost our focus on who God created us to be and the plan that he has for us as his children, but also the plan that he has for us in telling others about him, in praying for people and seeing people set free and delivered and pointing people to Jesus. The wonderful privilege of being part of God's plan for the salvation of the world, being part of telling people what Jesus has done, being part of introducing people to Jesus. And as we think ahead to the autumn term, don't forget there'll be a new Alpha course starting in September. Why not be praying and thinking about who you might invite along to come to Alpha with you? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he offers us life that is full of meaning and purpose and joy. Life that starts with the moment that we come to him and ask him to forgive us our sins, just like we did this morning together. life that provides us with healing and wholeness, power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and a whole new family. It's been really significant to me this week that those two families in particular from our church that are just having such an awful time at the moment have expressed their appreciation of the family of God here, working with them, supporting with them, walking with them, praying for them, concerned for them. We get a whole new family. And all of this lasts beyond death because Jesus has defeated death and he knows the way through death to a new life with God that lasts forever. And I think that's so important that we remember that he was saying these words hours before he knew he was going to die. And that when he was going to face the awful pain of the crucifixion, he was able to say with confidence, I know where I'm going. I know the way to the Father, and I go to prepare a place for you. There's an old song which came back to my mind. My husband often quotes old hymns that I've never heard of, so my apologies if this is one for you that you've never heard of. But something like this. Joy might remember it. I don't know. I'm not going to sing. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. So as we kind of wrap up this morning, we need to ask ourselves the question, is this what our life is like? Do we know God's presence and power in our life? Do we know, have we accepted Jesus for ourselves? Have we accepted his invitation to a new life that is really worth living? And if not, don't leave this morning until you have done that. Or is today a day when you're hearing the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit in your head, in your heart, saying, turn around when possible. Turn around when possible. Have you just slipped off from following God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole spirit? Has he lost first place in your life? And is it time to put him back on the throne? Turn around when possible. And it is possible here and now. And there'll be people at the front who would love to pray absolutely confidentially with you and let you have that opportunity. I came across the words of an author called John Piper, who said, if you know and trust Jesus, whatever is troubling us today, let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus says there is a place for you in his Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus prepared the way for you. He opened the way. He is the way. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus himself is your dwelling place, and he will come and take you to himself. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus and the Father are one. So if you have Jesus, you have the Father. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus has come in the Holy Spirit. He's with you now and will be with you always, not as an observer, but as a helper. Let's pray. Father, you know the things that are going on in each one of our hearts today. The joys and the sorrows, the concerns and the pressures. We want to bring them all to you. We want to ask you that you would prove yourself to us in a real way this today, as the way, the truth, and the life. Reveal yourself to us, that we would know your peace through your Holy Spirit, that we would know your healing and your comfort and your joy even in difficult days, that we would cling on to your promises, and know your guidance, your purpose, and your life that you promise us, that is life that really is worth living. So as we think of people today who we just long to see receive from you, be that the gift of new life or the gift of healing, we want to pray that you would touch them, but that you would also touch us and speak into our hearts, so that this week we point others to know you. This week we live the life that you have designed and created us to live. And that this week we go out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Sorry, Adam. I was really struck that so many of the songs that had been chosen earlier this week really were so appropriate in terms of reminding us of God's goodness and grace. And we had earlier two songs that really spoke into us about God's grace being everything that we need. And God, there was the song, "The Light of the World Stepping Down into Darkness," the reminder that God had came into this earth so that our lives would be turned around because he would point us to the Father. And we're going to sing now two more songs. "My Jesus, My Savior, There Is None Like You," which is, I hope, what I've been trying to say earlier in this talk. Just that reminder that there is nobody else like Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life.